see it might be small again. We've had a few small groups, I think, as people are maybe doing their summer traveling out and about. I know. So we'll see how our time continues to evolve together. Well, it's lovely to be here with each of you, and to continue our exploration of the messengers, these deep and universal teachings about aging, illness, dying, and awakening. And we'll continue the journey today with the fourth remembrance, which is the teaching that everything and everyone I love or that is dear to me is of the nature to change, and there's no way to be separated from it. And so I thought we could practice in a way that grounds us for that contemplation and also begins to open us to just the preciousness and poignancy of impermanence as we experience connecting with that in the stillness of practice. It's not unlike many of the practices we've been doing in this series that are different flavors, different angles of sitting with the very real experience, not the idea, but the experience of impermanence. So we'll sit together, we'll see who else trickles in. Welcome, Ellen. So delighted to have you here. And I would invite each of you to sit in a way that's comfortable. Comfortable and kind for the body. It's supportive when we're working with these teachings or practices that take us into the territory of the vulnerability of living in a body, of living this human life, that we bring in as much ease and care and support as possible. So sitting in a way that supports the alignment of the spine, so we can access the strength and support of the skeleton. Letting the muscles hang on the strength of the bones so that there's no extra efforting to sit. So that there can be a releasing and a relaxing in the muscles. To whatever degree is available. We can't will ourselves into relaxation, but we can coax, we can invite. You might sweep the awareness through the body like a warm sunbeam washing over this physical body from head to toe, softening and settling on the way down any of those places that might be reservoirs of tension or tightness. Taking care to relax the muscles of the face and jaw. There's often a lot of work in either expressing throughout the day or trying not to express something. And for this next half hour, the face can rest. Nothing to do, nothing to hide. And inviting shoulder blades to melt down the back body. Perhaps allowing more space, more ease in the neck. Allowing the arms to rest into the support of the lap. A natural heaviness. Nothing to reach for. Nothing to work on. As we let the hands be still for this period of practice. And softening through the abdomen, that place where we sometimes hold fear or worry, where we literally can hold our breath and inviting or relaxing so that the massaging quality of each deep breath brings just a gentle rise and fall to the belly. Letting the buttocks and the legs rest into the support being offered by the chair or the cushion. Feet and toes softening into the support of the earth. Letting the lower body relax into stillness. No place to go. Nothing to accomplish. Perhaps gathering your awareness to a felt sense of the breath. Each breath a reminder of this precious life. A source of nourishment with each inhalation. the body refreshed, revitalized. Each exhalation, a wholesome letting go. Cleansing, clearing that creates space for the next breath. So this capacity for understanding and experiencing the truth of flow, the truth of letting go, is always as close as the next breath. Letting the breath wash through you, wave by wave. when you find yourself tangled in thoughts, coming home to the gift of this next breath, this precious, fleeting, changing flow of breath that washes through the body, wave by wave. The change itself, a beautiful expression of life. This movement of breath, inhalation and exhalation, as you rest with the waves of the breath. You might also notice moments of becoming aware of the waves of sound or the waves of sensation changing and flowing through the ears, through the body as a whole. Again, the change itself, the arising and passing, a beautiful expression of life. We know the aliveness of the bird, perhaps in part, hearing the beauty of its song. We can't make the song last forever. We can't make the bird live forever. But we can offer the gift of our full, present, hearted awareness to receive the beauty. Here and now. Always having available the waves of the breath to come home to and float upon. as we come into the final minutes of our practice today, savoring the preciousness of this breath, of these final minutes of practice. All things come to an end, a breath, a period of practice, a conversation, a chapter of life, a life. So can we be here fully, open-heartedly, to the life that's right here, right in this breath, right in this moment? May this intention to pay attention to the life that is in us and around us, may that be a gift for all living beings we encounter. A way of helping to create a world where life is seen, appreciated, connected with, and cared about. So that all beings may live a life touched by love, and that this may be a source of easing suffering. May it be so. Welcome, David. So continuing with this exploration of the heavenly messengers, and last time we explored that messenger around our own mortality. This body is of the nature to die. There's no way to escape death. To really open to that reality, and as a bridge between that that remembrance and the next one, I thought I'd begin today with a poem. Some of you may know it, by Jane Kenyon, entitled Otherwise. I got out of bed on two strong legs. It might have been otherwise. I ate cereal, sweet milk, ripe, flawless peach. It might have been otherwise. I took the dog uphill to the birch wood. All morning I did the work I love. At noon I lay down with my mate. It might have been otherwise. We ate dinner together at a table with silver candlesticks. It might have been otherwise. I slept in a bed in a room with paintings on the walls and planned another day just like this day. But one day, I know it will be otherwise. So it's wise to know that it will be otherwise. Yeah, to not miss the preciousness of each and every day, the preciousness of living in this body. Yeah, the preciousness that, oh, it could be my last breath. That practice we worked with a couple of weeks ago. What if this is my last breath? Yeah. And that preciousness extends to all things. All things are transient. You know, some may have a longer half-life than others. You know, mountains may be here longer than we are. Twinkies may be here longer than we are, you know, but it's a truth that many of us overlook. You know, and that fourth remembrance of everyone and everything I love is of the nature to change. There's no way to escape being separated from them. Can be a beautiful invitation to see and connect with and to care about what we're coming into contact with. Other humans, other living beings, you know, the trees, the birds, the flowers, even the inanimate world, you know, like what if we picked up our tea mug and held it in a way that said, oh, this, you know, Ajahn Chah, a Thai forest meditation teacher, has a famous quote of, you know, the glass is already broken. You know, there's this preciousness, like this mug that these hands at one point threw and formed. I have broken enough pieces of pottery in my many decades that they're precious and they're not permanent. And I love drinking out of this mug, and someday I may drop it or it may crack in the dishwasher, and if I see it as already broken, you know, can I see the preciousness in it? So it doesn't have to be a morbid, oh my gosh, everything's falling away. It's really this invitation into loving what's here and seeing the beauty that is available in both the presence and the passing of each and everything. And there can be beauty in decay. A number of weeks ago, we explored the beauty in aging. And I think about that here in this remembrance of everything is of the nature to change. I often will practice with impermanence with a bouquet of flowers. You know, that first day when everything is really bright and perfect, and they wilt at different speeds in the bouquet, and sometimes there's that sort of funny musty smell that starts to come, and you could walk into a room and you catch a whiff of it, and it's like, what is that? Oh, that's the smell of decay and beauty intermingled. Frank Ostasevsky used to ask this question as a contemplation that I occasionally pick up and forget about and pick up again. And I was reading some notes from a talk I was in with him, and it's this inquiry of death. What do you have to teach me today? Death, what do you have to teach me today? And that might be our own death. It might be the death, the literal death of a loved one. It might be, I take my compost out. That's another place I engage in death contemplation. You know, there's death in the decay of the compost, and there's life in there too. Much as I dislike some of the life that's in there, it's like the squirming maggots and the in the compost bin or cart, and so life and death are intertwined. Or going for a walk and watching the cycle of life and death intertwined in the dead trees along the ditch that sprout mushrooms or become homes for birds or a place for the toad to crawl under and hide. So there's this poignancy, and we can also explore or see where there's suffering when we want to hold on. You know, we want to hold on to anything. Jack Kornfield is known to use the analogy of, you know, what you get when you hold on, rope burn. You know, it's life is this rope that's just moving through our hands. And if we let it flow, we're okay. But if we grab hold, rope burn. It's like that William Blake quote of kiss the joy as it flies. So the preciousness of connecting with humans or a relationship. You know, how often have you had a relationship change form, or for whatever reason, somebody moves and, oh, now it's different and I'm irritated about that, or I'm sad about that, or I'm angry about that. And it's not that we shouldn't be sad or irritated or angry, but if we hold on to, I wish it was the way it's always been, that's suffering. Yeah. Or loved ones, human, furry, die. You know, I think about, I really could have held on to my cat forever. I was never going to be tired of Emma. Never. And she was 17 and a half. And it was her time. And it was so clear to cling to her life would have been suffering for her and to suffering for me, even though there's suffering in the letting go. So these places that it requires courage to recognize we can't hold on. Life is this stream or a river. I was hiking along James Creek in the canyon this weekend, and it's a little bit like, you know, hiking along this river or creek, and if I took a bucket And I grabbed myself a bucket of water. I can't carry that bucket with me and say, I've got the river. You know, I can't hold on to it and say, this is it. You know, it's always flowing and changing, and life's like that. So part of our practice is, how do we lovingly meet and how do we lovingly let go? And so I might pause there and gift you some time to sit with each other and to reflect on, how do you relate to this fourth remembrance of everything's of the nature to change and there's no way to escape being separated from the things I love? And however that's alive for you, whether it's the, you know, the poignancy or the pain of it. And maybe we'll take about 7 minutes and you can savor that reflection time and then we'll come back for a final poem and reflection. So enjoy each other's company and the richness of this topic, and I'll see you soon. Welcome back. I'll just see if there's anything that wants to be spoken or shared in response to your reflections together on this. That's beautiful. I love that. Thank you. Beautiful. You know, I might, I love the ways that you're bringing, this reflection right to daily life, and maybe I'll close with a quote and an invitation for your week. This is from Han Shan, who it's around 630 CE, and he says, "You find a flower half buried in leaves, and in your eye its very fate resides. Loving beauty, you caress the bloom. Soon enough, you'll sweep petals from the floor. Terrible to love the lovely so, to count your own years, to say, 'I'm old,' to see a flower half buried in leaves and come face to face with what you are." And these teachings are everywhere. So if you wish, you know, you might open to life this week. You know, this remembrance is framed around death, but it's really pointing us to life and to just see, you know, what sprouts in your own heart in response. And just because there's too many good quotes and too little time, I'll close with this last one from Crowfoot. What is life? It is the flash of a firefly in the night. It is the breath of a buffalo in the winter time. It is the little shadow which runs across the grass and loses itself in the sunset. So may your week be blessed by beauty. And just a reminder, next week I am actually not here. I'm on vacation. And then I'm back the first week of August. So we'll continue with the fifth remembrance that week. So you have 2 weeks to savor beauty, to savor life. So take such good care and a joy as ever to be with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.